NADBF Mobile. WB8E monitoring. What it is? Well, good morning. Is that you, Sean? I couldn't tell.
Good morning, Walt. Yes, it is. Just hitting the road here for my let's see, what would that be? It'd be bi-weekly tri quad, my Pence weekly travel to the shop.
Oh, I thought you were up north. Did I have that all wrong?
That was a one-day run. Tuesday, I got up at like 3:30, lasted up there, took in a meeting, was home by 6 o'clock, actually 5:40. But, yep, that was a one-day dealie up in Traverse City.
I think where you made that turn in Acme, was it? There used to be a down store. They sold quilts, down jackets, down everything. Very interesting business. Very interesting. And the guy was going out of business. I'm going back years ago. And I asked him why. And he said, number one, it's really time for me to retire. Number two, I'm not going to sell that Chinese junk. Really. Oh, man, oh, man. Wonderful store. I mean, feather quilts like you couldn't believe. If I'm not mistaken, Charlene bought one. Yeah, she did.
I know she liked those kind of jackets. I don't know if I saw the one. I don't know how long ago we're talking, but I do remember her in one of them poopy juice down jackets. They are warm, I'll tell you what. But, yeah, no, that's, I've over the years, I've had a lot of friends up in Kalkaska, off 72 there, between Kalkaska and Traverse City, Pike Lake, all that stuff, and so I found myself stomping around up there quite a bit in my youth, and I've got some stories of that area. Good stuff. I don't know, I just, we've lost so much, you know, and so what? On the one hand, you know, we replaced it with better in some cases, or you know, cheaper, faster, better, but, you know, you've lost something. I don't care what. You get people that they always talk about, and again, like Dakota the other day, I don't want to talk survival, but, you know, what would happen if things just got tough here? We just had an economic thing. I could see that happening where we had a economic thing go on where we just pretty much, you know, everybody's got to turn in on themselves. You know, can we run? Can we do everything we need here? I'm sure we, you know, find a way given time, provided it's not, you know, wartime economy. We find a way to tool up for all these things, but you know, God help us if we ever have to do it in a pinch like we did in World War II. I'm babbling.
Oh, no. I find it interesting. Don't forget, my parents and possibly yours went through the Depression as teens. Both my parents were born in a house in Hamtramck. There was no hospital stay. So you go through that, then World War II hits you. And for the people that served in the war, then Korean War starts. You just get the country's getting down its feet economically. And then all that said, and then like my father and mother, then their son is serving in Vietnam, and you go through all these ups and downs economically and psychologically, and this is part of the human race. You know, I live very basic. I mean, I made a pot of soup yesterday, and they'll ask me for a noon meal for about a week.
know, that's not a bad way to go. And honestly, you know, I could do the same. I keep evaluating. It's like, you know, how much I spend a lot on crap, you know, and do I really need to? Not at all. And, you know, really, if you figure out what I need, I could be pretty off there. So, well, I'm going to go there and do that. You know, right now I spend like a drunken sailor. And you being a drunken sailor, you know what that's all about. But, hey, what are you going to do? I suppose when I retire, maybe sooner rather than later, but I always say that. Maybe I'll start tightening it up a little.
There used to be a saying with the old-timers, people above, you know, my age group, which, of course, are all gone. The first bill you pay is yourself. The first bill you pay is yourself. You get money, you go to the bank and put money in the bank in your account, not to spend, but to save, and then you live off the rest. Good advice. I've never followed it.
Yeah, I've had a few things that, you know, I've counted on. I've got a pension, you know, which includes medical, and, you know, and I'm counting on that. I'm counting on the, you know, Social Security. So, you know, I've not done real good in that department. But, you know, I'm the last of a breed of people that, you know, didn't have to do it that way, you know, with the pension and everything. You know, could it have been even more lucrative had I done that? Yes. You know, but I dabbled in it. I've got some money put away. If that was all I had, the money I had put away, I'd be in pretty dire straits. But I am counting on my pension and my Social Security, and, you know, and having my house and other things paid off. You know, those are all factors in my retirement game plan, and I should be okay. But you know, like I said, it's not that I banked away so much money that, you know, I'm going to be traveling the world. But, you know, I hear people talk about that. I never did do that, so I'm not going to start in my 60s. You know, like, I'm not that kind of travel. I like road trips. Will I take road trips and stay in flea bag motels? Hell yeah, love that. That's my kind of traveling.
WP80. Well, Charlene and I got down to day trips, Marine City, you know, along that coast, and we really enjoyed it. She enjoyed the living heck out of it. You know, I had my radio life with the Larks in the Park, and when I did go to club meetings, I don't drive at night anymore. You know, that sort of thing. And we enjoyed the living hell out of it. We've been to Hawaii many times. We're quite comfortable in our skin as far as, you know, putzing around through the decades around here. We've never had a urge to go to Europe, you know, as a married couple. And, yeah. But as far as retirement, man, so many people, you know, I'm retired, and all of a sudden realization hits them. They don't like retirement. It took me a good year. It's like, oh, my God, am I bored? You know, when I worked, I'd have something to do. I could do my fishing, my hunting. I'm going way back. And then, of course, my radio life. But when you're retired, it's like, I really don't feel like getting on the air. Day and night's blend.
Yeah, you just get tired of it all. Unless you change it up. That's why you got it. I'm always seeking the new experience. I like new. Anything gets old and I get used to it. I get bored very quickly. And I'm blue shiny looking for something new. So I got to keep doing that. And that's tough, you know. The older you get, the more you've seen. The less there is to surprise you or whatnot. So, but there's the experiences. So I don't know. I'm not retired yet. I keep thinking about it. And this year was right up there. It was one of the years to go. And maybe not. We'll see. But it's coming soon. It might have more to do with some things I got to get done around the house. I'm building a garage, and I got some other stuff I got to do. You know, in the interior of the house, I want to renovate the bathroom, and got some work to do in the kitchen and some other stuff. If not even addition, I might even do addition. But so those things are probably what are really more than anything holding me back, because I don't know what they're going to bring. So I don't want to change and then find out I'm not in a position to do those things. WV80. Well, I have the original cupboards here, the original counters. I'm not going to do anything to this house. I'm not. My youngest son here, a few years back, had to refresh his kitchen. I go, you're a bachelor. You know, well, you know, if I ever sell the house, you have to update it. So let the new owners update it. Anyway, I have a different outlook. I know I'm not knocking yours. I know what you're getting at. But yeah, it's so funny. Other than that, a good weekend. Went to the Detroit Full and Crab Place in Warren. My youngest son threw a surprise birthday party for me. Really great. Had a ball. Just fellowship. And had my bowl of soup. You know, me and my soup. And then Sunday went to the Larkin Park. Gorgeous weather out at Stony Creek. Just gorgeous weather. And, yeah, it was a pretty good weekend. And, what was it this morning? 38 degrees? Oh, man, winter will be upon us.
Yep, that's why I got to get cooking on my garage. I want to get that thing up before the snow flies. So, and we are running out of weeks. In fact, you know, the early snowfall often comes in November. So, I'm probably behind the eight ball on that. So, I got to make some calls even today. I'm at another one of them. I get terrible analysis paralysis, and right now I'm trying to analyze all the different things I can do. You know, do I build this? Do I build that? Do I go 8-foot walls? Do I go 10-foot walls? You know, well, what if I want to do this? What if I want to do that? You know, oh, but then I got to heat it, you know, and so now I got this whole analysis paralysis going on. You know, if I build it this big, I can use the existing pad. If I go this big, I got to build a little bit more pad. I might have to do a little different foundation, you know, or something. Yeah, you know, it's just, I got to just stop. Just, you know what you had, redo that in a fashion that can be added onto if I want to later. But I got to get it before the snow flies, and I just, you know, I find myself again in this analysis paralysis thing.
Just talking to one of my sons. There used to be businesses that did nothing but garages. I remember Miller on 8 Mile Road in Shaner area in Warren. They did nothing but build garages. They're still in business, Billy said. I'll be darned.
I'll give them a call. Find out what it would take to redo it in wood. Because I've been looking at steel. And, yeah, still is nice. You know, you design it online, they drive out, and several hours later, you got a garage, and they drive off, and the price is pretty affordable. But I feel doing my due diligence is finding out what it would cost to have a stick-built one.
Well, personally, at your age, and don't forget I have a son your age, I would put up the quickest and, you know, let other people worry about it after you're gone as far as going with a stick one. Probably a lot more money.
Maybe. I'm going to find out. It was a good suggestion. And I need something more to give me even more analysis issues. But, yeah, it's... there is that, you know. I do need the space, though. It's not like I can just say hell with it and not, you know, because if you want to go that route, I've been doing that, so I have to let somebody else worry about it. But I recently was shopping, you know, for a place that more suited us, in retirement. And, you know, with the prices that have just shot up, you know, so high, and then taxes, I'm just like, nope, quit, stop that. You're staying here. And I can't complain. I got almost an acre wall, so, you know, I still hope to get a tower up and sit back and do that. And now that I've completely missed yet another solar cycle, I'm going to need that tower. Oh, yeah. My son said the, what the hell, how did he put it? Yeah, the idea of the steel one you mentioned is a lot smarter, because the garage prices have shot up double because of COVID and the horrible increase on wood. My neighbor redid his wooden deck after 25 years. And to find, number one, good lumber. I think what you get as far as a stick garage now is just some sort of board arrangement and covered with aluminum. Yeah, I actually saw a place online when I was shopping them, and the beams looked like they were particle board sandwiched together, you know, like, you know, bound together in like a beam, and I'm like, that's a beam? Good grief, you know, and it looked like particle board, you know, and with, like you said, a coating on it. But I've got a lot of good, you know, recommendations to go with the metal, you know, you know, for more than just, the only knock I've seen so far on metal is that there's condensation, but there's ways to deal with that. And they're a little harder to interior finish. And, you know, and I don't necessarily know if I want to do interior finish it, but I do want to insulate it and heat it. You know, I don't want to heat it, you know, to 70. You know, I just want to keep it from getting below freezing, you know, maybe keep it around, you know, 40. And then, you know, and then if I'm going to work on something in the garage, I could, you know, stoke it up to a balmy 60 or something, or 65. But, you know, I just, you know, so I got to, I guess you can blow in insulation. You can, the stuff that just adheres to the walls. So that's not hard. But how do I run electrical, you know, lighting, electrical, you know, things like that. I don't know how you do that in a metal structure, so I got to figure that out. But I'm going to go metal just because, you know, they're durable, they're cost-effective. There ain't many knocks on them, actually. Just the condensation knocks, the only one I've heard. W8FQ.
Well, yeah, I mean, why do people put up the big metal sheds, barns, you know, buildings? They work. Number one. Number two, with the way industry is, if you get a garage built with, like you say, particle board and that, do people have the good help to make it really, how would I put it, work? I mean, nowadays, I'll be quite honest, about your best help nowadays is your Mexican help or, you know, South American people. Other than that, you're going to get some Billy Joe from down south that don't know shit about doing anything but to get high.
J8RUH. You didn't hear me, Anthony. I answered you, and I said, okay, I'll give it to you over there. Because I caught you over in the other. Go ahead.
Yeah, I realized that I was on the wrong side of things and turn the volume on and figured I'd hop back in over here. I do that every now and again, not realizing what my main is. So just want to say good morning, gentlemen. Glad to hear your garage is back in process there, Sean. And I'll be sending you some photos. I have a few other pieces of equipment that not sure the status of, but if there's any usefulness to you or anyone you know, we might be able to get that stuff over to you. Just some, looks like maybe some testing equipment, but I'll get you some photos a little later. I think it's over to you, Sean.
Yeah.
So, okay, very good. Yeah, we'll check that out. Good morning. But, well, you were talking about, I had a couple of guys, I'm assuming they're Mexican. I don't know if they were, I don't know that well, but I'm pretty sure they were. And, oh, my God, I never seen a couple of guys bust their arse so much. And I see this a lot, there's a work ethic. Just sun up, sun down. I thought, oh, my God, I'd be dying. And these guys were great. I paid them to demo the garage. And actually, I paid another guy. And I feel like the only reason I was paying him is because he was my interpreter. Because he didn't do nothing. He bought a wheelbarrow, a sledgehammer, and a broom, and then left. And then I was, with the two guys that didn't speak a lick of English, and thank God for the Google Translator, because we were able to go back and forth with that. But they were fantastic. These guys just, they knocked it out. I just can't believe how good they work. But you're right, man. You want some serious hard workers. That's a place to look. But hey, whatevs. Well,
good morning, Anthony. We'll call the lawn care place Charlene worked for many years here at 10 and Grosbeck. They knew the two Mexicans were illegal. They knew it. They're illegal, but they were brought here as babies. Do you follow me? For all intent, they're, American. You wouldn't know, no accent, no nothing. Their status, they were illegals. But they tried everything to make sure they got the phony Social Security number because they worked. They worked. I'm so tired of these people. How would I put this? I'm tired of the way society has fallen apart. Got divided over political viewpoints, religion. It's like, quit being stupid, people. I'm ranting. Anthony, pull us out of the darkness.
Well, I don't know that I'm the right person to pull you out of the darkness, but I will say you guys are not wrong in the work ethic of some of our newer residents. And, one of the things that I like to say is, there's a lot of people in this country that are too far from the immigrant mentality. Walt, I know you are a gentleman with much experience. I think you said you're from Hamtramck, so you were probably very close to that immigrant mentality and led you through your years. And I know I got that from my grandfather. And it's just a different world now. And we've been very lucky as Americans that life hasn't been all that difficult. So it's made things a little too easy for us, I think. Over to you, Sean.
Oh, yeah, I've seen all sorts of, claims, in the meme wars that go on, what's one you see is, testosterone's going down in American males or something like that, and they show some, some cartoon character of a lefty or something, and then they show the bearded guy, with the flannel shirt, it's just these stupid memes, but they're probably right, where they're hard, where there are hard men, in places that are hard, that's where there's some very hard men, but in places like this, all cushy and soft, hey, I'll admit it, I'm a softy. I mean, yeah, I was, a generation or two removed, from the immigrant experience, but, I grew up with all the benefits of this country and all the luxuries of being able to, just be a little less manly than I needed to be. You got to work at it, like Dakota. Well,
yeah, I mean, I went on YouTube here a while back, and I was watching press conferences with Reagan and Kennedy. And that was a class act as far as politics. I'm not yelling Republican, Democrat. I'm yelling class. And we've lost our class, the F word. The F word has to be used in every sentence, in every song. Not you know, to be macho, you have to use the F word. Or words that have no meaning. My favorite is woke. God almighty, you know, that is so woke. What does woke mean? Well, I don't know. You know, and it's like, you got to be kidding me, society. You know, are we dumbing down that much to use a word that has no meaning? It was made up. It's part of our life, the word woke. Ugh, I'm terrible. Anthony?
All right, let's get off this dark train. Sean, what do you got in store for today? Anything exciting? You got going to any different sites or anything like that?
I'm walking in the door of the shop right now as we speak, and no, nothing really. I'm going to see what it brings. I got a new generator going in at one of my sites, but I think that's tomorrow. But I am just walking in the door here, though, so let me take this opportunity to bow out. I'm going to have the radio on, and I'll make it a point to bounce back in here shortly if everybody's still here. W8FU.
Hey, Sean, have a great day. Anthony?
Well, I am stuck in traffic here. This is ridiculous. It has been terrible every day this week. I know that's, the morning commute is something you haven't had to battle in probably some time here, but, let me tell you, it's only gotten worse. KE8RUH.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, where I lived at in Warren, and I worked at the McComb Mall, Sears, it was easy going for 25 years north and south to get to work and from work. Then I worked in Birmingham. That got a little goofy because I didn't like 696. So I'll take a mile road over at Woodward. You know, add another 10 minutes to my travel time, 15, and it was well worth the lack of anxiety. What was it, the big snowfall of 78? I made it to work and they closed everything down and I had to fight the snow to get back. No traffic, just snow, which we haven't had much of it in the last decade, really.
Yeah, you know, I'm apparently a glutton for punishment because I take 94 to 696 every day. And like I said, it's been extra bad for the last week. I don't know. I get off every day at 11 mile because it's so bad getting to 696. For all I know, there's construction, but haven't made it past 11 mile in, I don't know, 2 weeks. And I could probably solve my problem if I just took 8 mile, you know, saying you take a mile road. And for some reason, every morning, I get on the expressway. Maybe next week I'll learn my lesson and take 8 Mile Road over to 75. But man, those days of snow make it extra complicated. You know, I used to run a production facility in Troy and would make sure when it snowed that I made it there no matter what, and then all the guys would call in, and I'd sit there for a few hours and get some work done, and then go home. So I feel your frustration. It's, but driving in the snow is certainly an art form, that's for sure.
Got a comment here, Walt.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, it's just for one of the points. But you made a point about how we haven't got much snow here. I was reading last night. I was on some website, and it took me down to eight. And I guess, you know, they're planting sequoias in Detroit? and they're thriving. They're doing really well. And they're like really surprised at how good these, how well these sequoias are growing here. And they said, you know, because you know the climate here is you know a little bit more harsh. And I'm thinking, well, you better hold that thought because it's been pretty mild the last several years. Is that why they're doing good? But anyhow, I didn't know if you were aware of that or not, that they're planting sequoias in East Poletown, as a matter of fact.
I think we have some growing already, not an old forest, but, I don't know, let's say 20 years old. Pretty interesting. Darn it, I lost my thought. oh, hell, that's terrible. The waste is a terrible thing to mind. Anyway, my one son got up, and we're going to talk. So everybody have a great day, and be good to yourselves, because nobody else will, and stay safe. Anthony, pick it up, my friend. WBAE. Ciao for now.
Thanks, Walt. Have a great day. Sean, have a good day at work. I'm sure you got to get to it, so I will... I will also be clear and monitoring probably for the next 10 minutes or so. Everybody have a great day. KE8RUH.
All right, well, all right, Anthony. I didn't mean to do that. I jumped in there. I heard him talking about the mild winters, and it made me think of that story I read. It probably derailed his thinking on what you were talking about there. But, yeah, I am sitting here, so I do have to get to work. Otherwise, everybody will be looking at me funny. What the hell is he talking on the radio for? We have radios here, and nobody understands why we would use them the way we use them. Radios are for, like, short, brief communications to get information you need to get from point A to point B about something else. You know, it's like, they don't understand radio for the sake of radio. They cock their head and look at me like a dog that heard a whistle. All right. I'll take a look at them pictures when you get them. Thanks, Anthony. We'll catch you. W8FU.
N8KPB Mobile. KJO. Listen. KJO on a handheld mobile. Good afternoon.
Catch that call. D8JL Alpha Delta 8 Juliet Lima. My name is Tim. What you doing on a handheld mobile on this beautiful afternoon?
No, the call sign is Kilo Charlie 8 Kilo Juliet Oscar. KC8KJO. I'm on the Warren repeater. Sitting over here at Clinton in Oakland off of the Clinton. Waiting for my wife.
Everything goes well. No fun waiting at the hospital, but you know, at least you get out and enjoy this absolutely beautiful fall afternoon.
Absolutely. And as soon as she comes out and she's out of the anesthesia and all that other stuff, it's outpatient stuff.
they're playing asteroids in their kidneys, you know how that goes. And then maybe we'll go get some Mexican food over at the taco place on 14. And this is Tom, by the way. I'm sorry. Tango Oscar Mike. Call sign Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. Do you remember? KCA Cujo.
KJO88JL, my name is Tim. I think you're a very optimistic man thinking that somebody coming out of anesthesia is going to run off and get Mexican food, but I hope it works out for you.
You don't know my wife. First thing I wanted to do when I came out of anesthesia, well, actually, I wanted to, you know, like, wake up first and relax, and then, of course, I ate, like, maybe 2 hours later. So we'll see how she goes. It's just a minor procedure. You know, kidney stone. They just got to pop one out of there. So it's like quick stuff. Extended vacation from neck surgery. I didn't take short term. I had a lot of vacation days, so I opted to do that instead. Burn off all my vacation days. No big deal. But, yeah, I'm sitting out here in the parking lot. My daughter's reading her book because she's our transportation today. And then she's inside. We're just waiting for the phone call. It's better to sit out here, talk on the radio, look at the leaves turning colors than sitting in a stuffy old waiting room for an hour and a half.
Aggressive about that. My wife has been in and out of the hospital for, in the last, I don't know, 8 months, something like that. And any time that I've got to be in there, how beautiful all the trees are. We're getting to peak color, which is really nice. I just try not to think too deeply about it because I know it's coming behind, but, you know, I try to stay in the moment.
Me too. I'm trying to enjoy it as much as I can. I go back to work tomorrow for the first time, like I said, since the 24th of September was my last day at work. So I'm just enjoying the day and going to continue to do that until I see that unforeseen climate change within the next couple weeks. Yay. KCA KGO. Cujo.
At least I've taken the opportunity to create a couple of winter hobbies that I can do, so at least I have something to look forward to. For me, the summer is quite busy, and I get almost no amateur radio time at all during the summer. I'm too busy doing the other things. So at least with outside activity slowing down a little, enjoy more amateur radio. Although I've been possibly foolishly optimistically building a podium, which I'm hoping to get out there. I figure it doesn't really get real until mid-December or after. So I'm really hoping to be able to do one or two more podiums if I can find the opportunity.
Yeah, most of the outside work is done for the house. You know, like I said, I've been on a quote-unquote extended vacation, but after the first week to maybe the first 2 weeks off, then better half start saying, hey, since you're able to do this, do this, do that, do this. So it came from a resting session and me messing around with my DMR to, hey, let the dogs out, move this over here, take this upstairs, put this down in the basement, and help me pick up the yard. That's what it turned into. So going back to work tomorrow is kind of like a blessing, I guess you can say. But it is a nice day today. It is really nice out. I'm glad it's not too hot because I can't handle the really hot stuff.
My car says 46 degrees, but in the sun, it sure doesn't feel like that. There's very little wind, and that nice, bright sun is really pretty comfortable. It inspired me. Actually, I'm pulling over to grab a bite to eat real quick because it's beautiful.
Yeah, we're going to do that afterwards. All right, well, I'll say 73 for now on Air Final. Let you finish eating. Family member just called, and no relation to my wife being here at Oakland. It's more or less just a general conversation before she goes to work. So I got to touch base with her real quick. So 73 on your final. This is KCAKJO Cujo.
KJO ADHJL. Well, I hope everything goes well. I hope you continue to enjoy the day. And I'll be here monitoring as well. ADHJL.
NAKPP. Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. Procedure to be finished. He's probably in recovery now, outpatient stuff. Not that big, nothing major. She just has to stop drinking all that sugar and eating all that salt. How's it going on your end?
Yeah, good. So, I had my physical this morning. It kicked me loose. So, a good old-fashioned blood test, EKG, x-ray of your chest, blah, 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 everything else like that. So, and then they said, get out of here. So I'm good. So other than that, nice day. Things have been going pretty good. Been doing a lot of traveling lately, so I haven't been on the radio much. A lot of family stuff. I had to go to the west side of the state twice. So other than that, not too much. Talked to Sean a little bit yesterday on the telephone, not on the radio. And that's about it. Are you back to work yet?
Tomorrow is my first day back. I have restrictions, so that's fine. They'll work with that. But going back tomorrow, first day. Yippee. Honestly, I'm excited to go back to work. I need to get back in the swing of things. Sitting at home all day, doing things here, doing things there, or not doing anything at all, you know, tends to wear on you after a while. So I'm excited to go back to work.
That's when you're supposed to pick up a hobby, like skateboarding or flying a kite. I got into flying remote control helicopters for a while. That was kind of fun until I found out how expensive it was when you crashed one of those puppies. But I actually got pretty good at it. And nowadays, they got these things with these stabilization systems on them that anybody can fly one. But back when I was doing it, you had to keep your eye on the darn thing. Otherwise, it would bite the dust. So did that and then flew drones for a while, you know, so I always seem to get myself wrapped up in expensive hobbies. My son's got himself kind of a chip up the old block. He's into RC racing cars now. And I can't believe some of the cost of some of these cars and some of these parts and some of these radios. A little two-way radio. What do they call it? Telemetry radio. $1,200 for an okay radio for an RC car. Do you believe that stuff?
Oh, I believe it. I had the remote control little helicopters, not the big one. I had a little battery one, you know, it said indoor only, and I took it outside just to fly it for a little bit more space. And gust of wind took it over the house, and it crashed. Then the cat got it, so that got damaged, you know, so that's no good. But then I started getting into drones. Had a little one, my first drone, and the cat attacked that one. So now I have a new one that I got for my Christmas party. It's about $300, and it's got auto-leveling, and, you know, it's got sport mode and normal mode, so it goes up to 400 feet, a quarter mile away. I'm too scared to do that, because with my history of RC stuff, it's not a good one. My son did have an RC 4x4 when he was, like, in his mid-teens, and went 60 miles an hour. Yeah, that scale speed, when you hit a parked car, yeah, it kind of does a little bit of damage. Go ahead, KGO.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing with a helicopter, what I learned, is going to fly it outside. It has to be collective pitch. So, and it's, you know, you can get small ones now, a couple hundred bucks that actually are collective pitch. So the motor stays at the same speed, so it revs up to whatever, you know, a couple thousand RPM or whatever. I don't know what it is. And then they change the pitch of the prop, or the heli, and that's what makes it rise and fall. So if the wind is starting to lift it, okay, you just bring it back, and it makes it gives it some negative rate, and then it brings it back down. And that takes a little bit of getting used to. So when you're flying a collective pitch helicopter, zero pitch is right in the middle, okay, and then you bring it backwards, that takes it to negative pitch, you bring it higher, that takes it, you know, because your instinct is, like, it's getting away from you, is to pull it all the way back. And you have to break yourself with that. And that took me forever to break myself with that habit. And I kept crashing them and crashing them and crashing them and crashing them and, you know, everything else like that. But once you get that in your head, you know, you just... You whirl it up, you keep everything at the same speed, and then you just change the pitch. And my guess is the one that you were flying probably it was a fixed pitch, and it was just using the RPM to control height. And you get a gust of wind, you can't bring it back.
Yeah, that's why I like my drone. I hit a button that says take off, it takes off, comes up about 6-8 feet in the air, and then I go straight up. And then I can, you know, spin it around 360, zoom in and zoom out on the camera, record video on it. And then when I want it back, I just hit go home, and it flies right back above me, comes down, spins around from its takeoff position, hovers to about 6 feet, and then it'll just land. So much easier. Less damage. And that's why I like it. You know, it's one of those fold-up ones that you put in a case. I got to take a picture of one time and send it to you on your email.
Yeah. Talk to Dave, get you on Telegram once you're on there already. A lot of us use that. But, yeah, that'd be kind of cool, you know, to see that one, you know, through the drone. They got a program, too. I was screwing with it for a while at my son's house, sent it over to my daughter's in-law's house. You could actually program them to what you want them to do before they up 100 feet, fly, you know, assuming the battery power was good there, you loaded it with GPS coordinates, so you could tell it to, you know, raise, fly, you know, 200, 300 feet, whatever altitude you wanted it to fly, and you could give it a program and tell it to go fly there, snap a picture, you know, come down to whatever you want, go ahead and rise back up and make it come back. And I had that DJI, I think it was the 4 advanced model, and I could tell that puppy what to do, and it would do it. You had to do nothing with it. I mean, just, you know, you programmed it before it left, and, you know, they'd fly for a half hour, so as long as you didn't give it over a half hour task, it would go wherever you wanted it to do. So, I mean, if you wanted to send it to a city or a town, you could tell it, and if it had enough battery power, it would come right back to you and land right in front of you. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's just another expensive hobby I don't need to get into. I think mine does something with GPS. I know that before I take off with it, you know, I got to put it vertical and I got to spin around, you know, I got to do a 360, then I got to put it horizontal and do another 360 to get its GPS position. And then, but it's got follow me mode on it where as long as my phone is online, it'll follow me wherever I go, you know, for as long as the battery life is. Like I said, I really haven't taken it outside of a certain radius, more or less my backyard, but I've gotten up, you know, like I said, 100, 150 feet with it, and, you know, flew it around the neighborhood a little bit. Like I said, I'm still messing with it, but living in Memphis, I got telephone lines and power lines in the front and the backyard. You know, it's all grass, so it needs a nice solid landing surface so that, you know, the blades get, you know, trims the grass down and eats it up into the blades, so I don't want to do that. And, you know, but I brought it up above the big cherry tree and spun it around, took a picture of the city water tower and the fire department and stuff like that. And got some pretty good pictures on it. So that's about it. That's it. Besides that, just my ham radio is my other hobby. I don't have time for anything else. And that's what I'm saying out here. On my DMR radio, using analog. But when I go home, I made 26 contacts in 6 or 7 different countries on TG91 over the past week. So really enjoying that open spot that Sean sent me.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. 9-1 is like everywhere. It's like having an HF experience. Yeah, that's quite enjoyable. You can chat with everybody on that. There's another couple, 3 groups out there that do a little bit of research that are popular. I think 3100 is USA-wide, and then they got all sorts of little niche ones, and you can tell who's busy, who's not. So, and there's another set of digital channels over there in Pontiac. I don't know if you found those yet or not, with your digital radio. And then there's 5152, and then I thought there was another set that I found the other day that worked pretty good. Oh, there is another one. It's like a open pair or something. I forget the term that Sean used on it, but that one seems to be down. But I like digital. It's fun. It's fun to play with. The open spot's really, really cool to play with. So yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying it. So then that'd be another thing too. Get yourself and build yourself one. That's kind of fun too.
Yeah, building my own will be sometime down the road. You know, get the hack, get the Raspberry Pi, and then program Pi Star into it or All Star. You know, but that's probably in the future kind of thing. Playing with the open spot right now when I get home is a fun thing. You know, it occupies my time. And then with the radio reprogram now, how Captain Don did it. I guess I have my analog channels, and if there's a digital tower around somewhere that hits Brandmeister, I think I got MI5 in there programmed. I just got to look and see how he has it programmed. But, I'm still learning. We put the OpenGD77 in it, and I got a whole cold plug all set up for home, travel, and open spot. So, I'm getting there. Slowly but surely, but I'm getting there. Go ahead.
Very good. NAKPP, known to this for this in a while. Yeah, it's a lot of fun playing with all that stuff. If you're going to do All-Star, if you don't have that originally, I do it with a Dell Weiss node. Find yourself one of those. You can find some of those for like $25 or $30. It's a lot cleaner signal. There's a lot more flexibility. There's more to it. You're going to have to study a little bit more. But allscan.info, so guys' website, can walk you through how to turn in a little Dell Weiss box into All-Star node, and you can do lots of different things with it, a lot of playing around. Got multiple USB ports on it, and gives you more flexibility. Plus, it gives you more tinkering, like a fly when you program the card and shove it in. It's kind of like an appliance, whereas this, the All-Scan and the white box, there's a little bit more building and programming to it, but there's enough of us out there that can help you. But that one website, I was able to get it running with that one website, so I'm pretty proud of myself. And you get the little blue box, you can go duplexer or duplex setup. There are a lot of cool things you can do with All-Scan and All-Star 3 is what I think everybody's at right now.
I don't have any way to write that down. When you get back home or whatever, when you get a chance, my email is in QRZ. Send me an email for that link, then I'm going to check that out when I get home, when I get back on the laptop. I'm going to do it tomorrow during lunch. But, when you get a chance, email that link to me, and then I'm going to check it out. So it's a Dell Weiss, so it's a W-I-S-E. I know what that is. I've seen them around. And I'm also looking at, I talked to somebody in Milwaukee on FBI, and he was actually using a telephone, so I know there's hams over IP, telephone numbers and stuff like that, so I'm going to go try to find one of those. one of those VoIP phones. I think there's a guy in Troy that sells it for like $30. So I'm going to check my office and see if there's any in the recycle bin. If there is, then I'm going to snatch one. KCKJO.
There's a lot of help on Dave's website, the Who Cares dot whatever. If Dave's listening, he can tell you what the website is. I don't know what it is offhand, but it'll walk you through how to program the Cisco phone. Everybody kind of uses the same phone, that Cisco 525G, and they all use, there's two competing services, and I think everybody locally does the ham over IP, and I forget the name of the other one, but he's got a really well-written article on his website on how to do that, and a lot of us use that, too. That's kind of cool. And then, you know, you can chat to anybody, like, in particular, let's say if you had a quick question for Sean or something like that, you know, if the bad phone rings, he knows it usually has something to do with a ham question. You know, same thing with me. You know, if the bad phone rings, it usually has something to do with a ham. And then, of course, you can dial in to any all-star thing with it, too. So it's quite a system. There are a lot of creative programming people out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what he was telling me. It was a Cisco 525G. And there's some guy in Troy that sold it.
Yeah, and then there's another private company out there if you want a traditional house phone. Canada, I forget. It's based out of Canada, and it's really inexpensive. And that's so then you got just regular old house phone. And I actually bought an extra one, programmed it up, and gave it to the grandkids, 2 and 5. So it's kind of a lost art, you know. Nobody knows what a house phone it is anymore, and you don't want to give a 5-year-old a cell phone yet. But so when I want to talk to the grandkids, I just pick up from my cell phone or from my VoIP phone or what have you and just call their number. It's just a regular old 586 phone number, and they answer it, and you know, it's fun to talk to them, things like that. And they got a house phone. So, you know, kids know how to do it. And then I program like 5 or 6 numbers in it, so if they want to talk to grandma or Gigi or, you know, whoever, or even their mom or dad, they can just pick up the phone and hit one button and it dials it for them. So that's kind of cool, too. And then you can also just have a regular phone, and you can mirror your work phone to that phone. So if you're sitting at your office and you don't have your cell phone in your hand, just a regular old desk phone, it would work as that way too. So that's another option.
Oh, I got a POTS sitting in the front room because I got DSL through Frontier. So, but I deactivated the line. But I got the phone, you know. But I got the POTS is still sitting there. So I got that. I wonder how the Avias work on VoIP for ham. Maybe I'll find one of those and tinker around with that, too.
Not sure. I do know on the website, Hams over IP is what I think. The Ham Shack Hotline, that's the one that's not in favor around here. Hams over IP, that's the one that is in favor around here. But if you go to their website, they'll tell you you know, if they support it or not. Not that you can't figure out how to do it. It's just that supporting means that they've kind of got a little template that you can walk through. I got to call you right back. NAKPP.
Kilo tell you, Kilo Juliet Oscar to Joe.
WADAP. Help if I turn my volume up.
KE8WOJ with a question on the FBI repeaters. WOJ, anybody out here this afternoon? WOJ clear.
I can say hi, I don't have time to talk, just letting you know you're getting out. It ain't KPP.
Well, thank you very much. I know it gets out, I just had a question on their link repeater system, but I'll try to catch them another time. Thank you very much, have a great day. Kilo Echo 8, this is Oscar Juliet, I'll be clear.
Hey, Cujo, are you out there? I forgot your prefix, WADAP.
This is KB0DCO. The guy looking for Tom is a Kilo Charlie 8 Kilo Juliet Oscar. Haven't heard him around, though, yet today. Name here is also Thomas, KB0DCO from Sturt, Minnesota.
W8FU. Yes, FU. Well, I was going to say good afternoon, but after that extra FU, I don't know if I should. But anyway, I'll say it anyway. Good afternoon, and we'll be having a great day. W8RCY. Oh, not too bad. Weather's pleasant here. I like this flannel weather. It's kind of nice. Gets cool at night, though. Now, on my way home, just trying to figure out, just now starting to think about dinner. What are the dinner plans? Other than that, nothing much going on. Copy that. I don't know what I'm going to do for dinner, if I'm going to do anything at all. I'm a little bit stuffed and a little bit bloated, so I might just chill tonight and relax and really not do anything. I think the ball game, World Series starts tomorrow and night, I think, so I'm not sure. And then I got breakfast on Saturday, of course, and I'm going to, you know, kind of watch myself there, too, because I eat a little too much there, even though I try not to eat much. I might just do a breakfast sandwich. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway. All right, well, I'll let you get home in peace and, you know, enjoy the afternoon and evening with the missus and everything. And we'll catch up with you later on. So have a good night. WRCY. Whoops. W8RCY. I have my radio because I got the Troy on the other half of this radio monitoring, and that's why I said it. My bad. WRCY. I am clear. Wait just a minute. So you said the World Series. I guess I could look it up, but I don't feel like it. Dodgers or the Mets? Who won?
Dodgers defeated the Mets, and I think the first game is in L.A. against the Yankees.
Yeah, you know, that was going to be a great World Series no matter which because, you know, of course, Mets would be, you know, Mets versus Yankees. What a great, you know, for New York, you know. But yeah, Dodgers versus Yankees, that's like old school, man. That's like the classic World Series.
Well, L.A. used Shohei Ohtani as just a designated hitter. He didn't pitch a single game. I don't know what the plan is for the series, if he's going to be pitching or not. I have not been following it that closely this week, but I wonder if he's going to be in the pitching rotation or not, and see what happens there. Plus, I'm not sure if it's a... there's some rule with the All-Star game. Whoever wins the All-Star game is how it's played out, whether it's, there's going to be a designated hitter or it's going to be the pitchers actually batting this time around. Like I said, I didn't follow it that closely. But I know that's part of the game plan or part of the play of the World Series.
Couldn't tell you a damn thing about it. I didn't even know who was, I knew the Yankees that, because, you know, I, of course, knew the, you know, the Tigers were playing the Indians. And when they lost to the Indians, I knew the Indians were playing the Yankees, so I knew it was going to be the Yankees only because of that. And as far as over on that side, I knew it was one or the other just because I just happened to catch it on the air. They said it was the Mets versus Dodgers. Or they said, you know, now they, I remember hearing that the Yankees now await the winner of Yankees and the Mets, or the Dodgers and the Mets, so whatever. That's the only reason I know. I couldn't name a single player. I couldn't tell you, you know, who's got the, you know, by what rules they're playing, anything like that. I have no clue. And I probably won't watch a single game because I don't know a single player. So I find it to be difficult when I'm not engaged at any level. And that's my fault. I get it.
Oh, yeah. And Joe, my significant other, is a big sports nut, and she's not really getting into it too much. We were watching the championship games when there was nothing else on in the way of college football or hockey. I mean, hockey's just starting, and, Lions, of course, had the bye week there a week or so ago, and that kind of, you know, did that. So we're talking about it, her and I, and, you know, I think I'm not sure if the first game's tomorrow night or Saturday, but, so we'll see what happens and play it from there. Okay, again, I will let you go. We have a nice, relaxing evening, and I'll be on this one monitoring, or Troy monitoring, and putzing around maybe a little bit on 2 meter, listening to maybe an evening net or something. Catch you later. W-8-R-C-Y, this time I'm cheating and reading it off the top of my radio, just so I don't screw it up again. And we're clear.
K-F-8-S.
What's shaking?
Not much. Just got the T-shirt for installing DV switch on all ASL3. So, got that all working. Whatever use it is.
Roger. So, I thought you had it working. So, what were we dialing into when you, what did you have it on before? Was that particular note ASL2?
Oh, you know, that still works. What I'm talking about DV switch is the DV switch server. I guess I should clarify. DV switch server on ASL3, which allows you to cross-mode the digital over to your all-star node. You know, kind of use it as a poor man's clear node, I guess. Is the best way to put it, but somebody had a YouTube video that gave like a tutorial of, you know, step by step, here's what you do and all that stuff, and I got that working, so pretty cool. You don't need a USB dongle stick. It actually sounds decent, so whatever they're using for it, it sounds pretty good.
All right. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, no, I know now what you're talking about. I remember I monkeyed with that a while back. I had it all kind of working and just kind of said, yeah, too persnickety. But if you got it at the infrastructure level and you set it up for something very specific, you know, it could be, sounds like it could work good. I might consider something like that. Maybe, give a DMR or a Fusion
way into the 2.6. I don't know. We'll see. I did notice one thing. I simultaneously was upgrading a Pi 3 B+, a Pi 4, 8-gig Pi 4, and a 5070 node. All three required upgrades, pretty expensive upgrades. And that 5070 blew away the two Pis as far as speed. That thing was downloaded, upgraded, and back to running. The Pi 4, of course, beat the Pi 3 B+, but the 5070 just destroyed them. So got a lot more power out of those bad boys.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way to go. The only reason I use a Pi is because I just have extras sitting in a box, and happen to have a 2-gig one that I found last night, and that's why I have hooked up to the little radioless node thingy, and works pretty well. And so then I said, oh, well, I might as well put the DV switch server on it. That way it can not only can I monitor all the All-Star stuff, I can like monitor zombie alert and stuff like that.
Now, I'm probably going to pull the hub for the FBI back back local, right now it's virtualized in Fred's data center, but once we get a hardened, data center per se back over here, I'll probably move it back just so that if I ever lose connection, I don't lose everything. I'll have everything here on the loop. But if I do that, if you were going to build up a hub that was going to be like the backbone of an entire network, including multiple repeaters and maybe running DD switch and all that stuff, what would you run? And I know you can do it all on a Pi, but I've seen how much better the 5070s run. Would you go even further than that? Would you get a NUC or something? But no need to hash it out here, but just give some thought. Because when I pull the hub back over here into this portion of the 44 net, I'm probably going to, and I'll be putting it in our own quote-unquote data center, I'll probably do up something, get the best of whatever I figure the best could be, what I need.
Well, for a hub server, I wouldn't keep it at a home location. I would keep it somewhere where somebody's monitoring the network. So are you talking about you want to put it at your house again?
No, I thought I made that quite clear. When we get our own data center. We're working on a data center over here. We've got some things that got to happen because the building doesn't. We lost our generator. They don't plan on replacing it until next year. But once our data center gets back, online and hardened and all that stuff, we have the microwave network going right into that building. So it would make sense for me to locate my hub there once our data center is back online.
Yeah, you wouldn't need much power. I mean, if you're just putting All-Star on it, you could probably get by with the 5070 if that's all you're going to do. If you're going to do more than that, then maybe you need more power. But, I mean, your 5070 probably has got 8 gigs of RAM in it, right?
Yeah, whatever, Scott. I can't remember. But, that's what I'm saying. I've seen a significant improvement in performance of the 5070, if nothing else, just when upgrading Debian. But, what I'm referring to is, that would be the case. Once we get our data center, back online to my satisfaction, and I can move it over here, I'm going to put in a machine that's capable of running, like DD switch, so that I can have some of that action going on as well. So that's where, I'm wondering what horsepower I need or hardware or whatnot, if I'm going to maybe entertain doing a little bit of that. Maybe have a DMR input or a fusion input.
Yeah, you should just mimic what I'm doing. Put up a URF reflector, and that's your bridge. You have a transcoded module. The only thing you'd have to buy is you'd have to buy one of those $99 little USB dongles. And, unfortunately, that one has to run. It's stupid how it has to run, because it has to run on a Pi right now that the only way I've been able to get to work is the transcoder has to be on a Pi. If you're not going to transcode modules, then you don't need any of that stuff. But as far as, like, having multi-mode, I would just turn on one of these. I would just register a URF number or whatever and put that software up instead of DV switch. Because DV server, I think it's more useful if you're a single user that you wanted to control your node and move it around. But if you're talking about you want to bridge stuff on your repeater, you should do what I'm doing with that URF server. It seems to be pretty stable now.
All right, yeah, and that's where, like I said, I'll defer to you. I don't have a lot of, I'll have to dig in and figure it all out from scratch. It'll probably be easier to get some at least pointers. But all right, good information. I won't be thinking DV switch. Now, one of these, we had some rain fade, I lost our entire network because we had some rain fade, and we didn't have the whole network completed yet, and I lost my connection back to Fenton, so all my repeaters were just fine, and they were all talking to one another, but since the hub was in Fenton, and I lost the whole network, and I'm like, well, that sucks, so I'd like to get around that, and... and now that we got the 44 net all running, between all my machines down here, no reason. Provided I could give it a hardened, environment, has the 5.9s, applied, going for it, then, I'll leave it at Fred's data center. But, if I can do a 5.9, type installation, and keep it here, in my little subnet, I would rather do that.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I would just get two PCs that are the same, whether they be two WISE boxes, and make it so that you know what all the configuration is, right? How to back up all the configuration files, and... if the hardware fails, you just swap the hardware out, and you can restore the configuration files and be back up. If it's a network thing, network things you can't really, that's up to somebody else, right? Like whoever your internet provider is and all that stuff. So as long as they've got their stuff up and all that stuff, then you're fine. So, but. Yeah, and as far as the URF stuff, when you get to that point, and it'll probably be months from now or whatever, then I can show you how I set mine up. We can do a couple screen share sessions or whatever and walk you through it. It's not that hard. I've done it a couple times, and it's really not that hard to do. You just have to open ports. That's probably the hardest part of it.
Oh, man, I just missed the license plate for the channel. Guy had Boudoir on the back of his Jeep.
Boudoir. I haven't seen any today. I was driving out there. My favorite one was the one that said 84 Vet. I was like, I wonder what that is.
I think I got one in the archive. I got to get posted. I was like, what the hell does that mean? So I thought I'd put it out there for, sometimes they don't mean anything but the person that, that got it. And, if I was going to get one, I'd want it to be meaningful to more than just me.
still cracking up that they made you get a amateur plate for your call sign. You should try to fight it again, see if you can get a regular one. Like, try to well, no, they won't let you do that. They won't let you just, like, switch from ham plate to a regular plate. You got to cancel yours first and then order a new one.
Well, they say that that board that makes those decisions changes frequently, so I would think I was going to give it a while, and then I was going to write to them and say, hey, look, you know, I want to get the Winter Wonderland or whatever, and, you know, and but before I cancel this, I want to be sure that you'll allow it, and then if I, you know, see if I can start that process and go from there, but I don't know, you know. It struck me as one of those things where it's like, you can't today, but that doesn't necessarily mean you won't be able to tomorrow, which is kind of sucks, you know, being arbitrary like that.
Or just change your call to W8FUN.
I wonder if I could get W8FUN and then just, I'll just put some tape over the N.
There you go. Let's get black it out or something. As long as you don't get pulled over.
I actually put a decal on my plate over the tower, you know, the amateur, the tower to the left of the call. I read the rules, and it says that that you know, there's nothing against putting anything on your plate as long as it does not in any way block the registration information, and it does not. You know, all it covers up is the that amateur radio tower, and so I'm running around with that, you know, tempting fate.
I bet you could paint it all white. Like, because, you know, the plate's white, I bet you could, like, paint it all white if you don't like that tower.
I'll take a picture of what I did. I put it on, I bought a cover for it just in case I get called out on it. I can just remove the cover and no harm, no foul. But, you know, what I did works. I just wish they'd go to something, you know, just give us a version of the Winter Wonderland where instead of Winter Wonderland underneath it says amateur radio. You know, I don't need your idea of appropriate artwork, because generally it's corny.
Well, you know, they had to have a contest for it, submissions for the thing, and somebody drew it, and I don't know if it happened from anybody in government. It probably had, like, some weird contest, and, you know, somebody out in Grand Rapids won the contest, and their design was chosen.
Oh, yeah, you know it. So cliche, though. It's like, you know, we've looked for logos. You know, we've thought about doing a logo for the shop, and, you know, and they're all just so lame. You know, it's like, you know, does the little tower have lightning bolts or does it have the circular waves? You know, because those are your choices.
KF8S. Yeah, all the hat designs have that same cliche tower with, like, little circles radiating out of the top of it and, yeah, lightning bolts and... But yeah, what else? You could always put an HT in there. That would be more insulting.
How about a Bofang? Put a little Bofang in there. Or a set of Motorola bat wings.
That'd be. They need a commercial plate for that then. Commercial radio license plate.
W8RCY, the Troy 575 blue antenna logo that we have
came out of a cut and paste because we had to cut out the original call sign and stuff that was in that. It's got the little blue circulating radiation off of the antenna.
Yep, that's the standard clip art that everybody uses. It's like, oh.
I'm going to change it to the Who Cares logo, the little guy that's shrugging.
Who cares? KB0DCO.
Maybe we can get not a Rubicon face and put it on every license plate.
We gotta figure out how to turn your gain down there, KC zero something something. You're really loud.
And name here is Thomas Kilo Bravo Zero Delta Charlie Oscar. Yeah, unfortunately, we haven't figured that out yet. It would be nice if they would push, they got the up and down volume for the speakers, but they don't have one for the microphone. So it's somehow in the software. You log into their IP address, and then you can get access to programming the phone. Though, I think I found the section for it, but unfortunately they just don't specifically state in the software, here's your microphone setting. No, here's your gain for what, you know? I adjusted that. It didn't do anything. So, unfortunately, they're not very specific in their software to be easily read and understood. So, and I talked to Captain Don, and I don't know any. Okay, well, then I guess we're not going to get it done then.
If you lift the handset and use that, they sound quite good. It's when you're using the speaker that they sound obnoxious.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way I operate. So, I don't use the handset, and even with my cell phone, I don't use it up to my ear. I use the speakerphone mode. So, ever since I've started using a cell phone, it's in speakerphone mode all the way. Because every time I've used it up to my ear gets real hot. So, I don't use it that way anymore. So we need to find the proper software and have someone sit down with me and try to run some tests and say, okay, I've adjusted this, did this change anything? You know?
Good Lord, can you block this guy?
Well, you can get blocked yourself, buddy.
No,
well,
I'm because you, one, you don't shut up.
We all got to listen to it. So, all right, I'm getting out of here. W8FU.
I'm getting out of here. I can't listen to this crap. KF8S.
Yeah, and I don't like talking to people that have attitudes either. Have a good day.
Yeah, you need to get off of this phone. You're way too loud.
Well, then you can go blame Captain Duck.
You need to cease and desist. You're not supposed to be using this phone in here. It's way too loud. Please stop. We do not want to have our ears bleeding.
Yeah, you can go complain to Captain...
No. You need to stop right now. I'm serious. Do not come on this network with that audio.
Well, you can have your opinion.
No. We're not going to let you talk over here. Please get off of this network. Go talk somewhere else with that horrible audio.
Sorry, that ain't going to happen.
I'm sorry, but people are going to talk over you until you leave. So
well,
Please leave.
Nope, not
you're interfering with this repeater. Please
well,
leave.
And you're
leave right now.
Also interfering with this repeater.
Listen. You need to get off of here. We don't want this audio on here. Thank you.
Well, then you better go tell Don about it.
No, don't talk to Don. Don has nothing to do about it.
Yes,
Don
he did.
Never given you that. Don should have never given you that phone to begin with. We
there
don't
you
want
go,
to this audio over here. Please leave. KF8S, clear.
Nope. KB0DCO, standing by and monitoring. Because no one is going to tell me what to do, and I don't tell anyone else what to do.
I don't care what you think. We're not going to be talking to you. All we're going to do is listen to your crappy audio.
Well, then, you got an off button. Go use it.
Go talk to somebody in Minnesota. Stay off of our system.
I was invited, so I'm staying.
Who were you invited by? Who?
Guess who? Captain Don. You can go talk to him about it.
Captain Don is not here. Why don't you go talk to Captain Don on his private node?
No, because ham radio is to talk to everybody, so screw you.
Why? You don't want to, you're going to talk to people that don't want to talk to you. I don't understand. Go talk on your system.
Don't have my own system. It's just like Echo Link. Call and talk to whoever you want.
Echo Link has horrible audio, too. I don't know why anybody uses that.
And that's why I'm using this. Better audio.
It's not better audio. You're clipping like crazy.
Well, then why don't you, instead of complaining about it, why don't you help me set the damn thing up, then?
You need to go and read the manual yourself. You're retired. You can go. You have all the time in the world. You figure it out.
Yeah, I've been trying to, but I'm not getting anywhere with it. So there.
Well, throw that thing in the trash. That audio codes phone is horrible. Do not use it.
Well, then send me a Cisco phone, and then I'll use that then.
I'm not going to send you a phone. Go use your own money and buy your real equipment. Don't use crappy hand-me-downs like this. They're the reason why Captain Don got rid of that phone, because he got a Cisco phone.
Yeah, and the audio sounded the same when he used it with me, and vice versa, the Cisco sounded the same.
Ham radio is not using speaker phones. I'm sorry.
Well, then they should put a little microphone and a little cord, and so you can key up the microphone on a telephone then.
At least it's not a Bofang.
Yeah, that's...
God damn you guys.
Yeah, some people have the nerve.
You're going to defend this, Eric?
Dave, I'll get a hold of you. I just, interesting.
That Cujo guy, how do you show your face on here?
I'll get a hold of you on the note. WFQ.
How does that Cujo guy show his face out here with a Bofang?
I'd rather listen to a Bofang than that crappy audio on the phone.
I was being sarcastic.
The hell? Okay, who's a jackass sitting on their phone?
I guess I am. We got some idiots out there that have issues.
You're talking about yourself?
Well, how about you just take your phone and go somewhere else with it?
Nope.
Okay, well then I'll just disconnect you. Thank you.
Bye.
What is that, KB0DCO? Is that who it is?
That is correct. This is KB0DCO.
Yeah, okay, so you're dead keying the network, so you can either leave or I'll just block in-ban your IP and call sign completely.
Well, then I'll get in through other networks then.
Not through this network. You've been asked to leave. If you're not going to leave, I've asked you nice, but if you're not going to leave, I'll just block your IP.
Well, I guess then that's probably going to have to happen because there's people out there that like to treat people poorly. Then there should be banned just as well because amateur
Oh, my God. Get off your fucking high horse.
Not this kind of crap.
You'd think he'd just pick up the handset, but no, it's inconvenient for him.
Yeah, well, we'll log in to kick his ass off of here. Jeez, oh fucking peeps.
Well, then go play King of the Hill.
Couldn't I kick him? I logged into the node and kicked him, and it didn't do anything. Is that the nature of the connections? I know you can.
It's because it's coming in over hams over IP. You got to block the entire hams over IP.
Oh, yeah. Well, he could screw it up for everybody. There's usually that guy that screws it up for everybody because he won't pick up his handset.
And then there's people with attitudes, and I don't deal with people with attitudes.
Listen, you are in the minority here.
Everybody
here doesn't want
get
to hear
off,
your stupid
okay?
audio.
Now,
get the hell off of the network.
And now it's getting ugly. Go away. You can pick up your handset and try to cooperate with us or spend $30 and get a phone that's appropriate that doesn't have this audio, or you can be an asshole. You've obviously picked that method. Why don't you try something a little bit more reasonable?
Well, when someone starts showing an attitude, I'm going to show it right back, you know?
Get rid of the guy. Just, you know, I don't want to hear him no more.
Yeah, he's bleeding off of the disability system.
Geez, some people. Anyways,
yeah,
the proper
I enjoy the money that I'm giving you out of my paycheck because you have to be a lazy ass.
Yeah, that's fixed finally.
What a day.
Well, yes.
Thinking I got a issue I got to work on, and they were going to send me down to Dearborn for it, and I come in to find out it's not even body related at all. Why are we even here?
Why are we where?
I think he wonders why we are here in life in general.
All right, anyhow, I'm one keystroke away from disabling HOIP altogether. It's a shame, but about two steps away from disabling EchoLink, but I don't want to, but when people tell me how to run my system.
So the HOIP admins asked me to send him a tape. I haven't listened to it because I was just getting sent a message. So I came into the tail end. Is there anything in the tape I'm going to, you know?
I don't know. It's typical. It was a little antagonistic. But I don't know. Don't really care. Nothing I heard. So go ahead and listen.
Okay, I'm going to listen. Well, I got to grab it first.
Thank you. like some drama that needs to be shared in Slack?
No, it was just somebody who was coming in, loud audio, he's been told repeatedly. The simple solution would be just to pick up the handset, but that's inconvenient, so everybody else has to suffer through the horrible audio. Then started dictating that, you know, we're not going to tell him on our equipment that we purchased, that we put up, that we spent money on, that we, now he's starting to tell us how he's going to, you know. So, of course, it got heated. You know, Dave poked the bear a little bit, you know, as well, but honestly, the real solution was sorry. I'll do that. I'll use the handset. It's not as convenient for me, but until I can cough up a, you know, 30 whole dollars and get a phone that doesn't do this, you know, I'm going to subject you to this. But instead of sorry, I'll use the handset or I'll come in a different way, we got a obnoxious fight. And, so now I'm faced with turning off VoIP to the repeater, and you know, and then if there's going to be a problem, you know, turn off EchoLink, all these other little things that we've used in the past, that there's always one bad egg screws up.
Yeah,
I always go to that one guy. Anyhow, the worst part is that there's a simple solution. You know, as inconvenient as it might have been, is pick up the handset to buy a $30 phone that doesn't sound like that, you know. So, you know, if it hadn't been, explained nicely a million times, it wouldn't have got to this point. You know, so, just, you know, just you only put up with it so long, and then you're like, okay, ball's in your court, you got to fix this. So I just kind of like, that's it. Dave, I think, lost it a little bit as a system administrator. I was in no mood for it, so anyhow, I'm about ready to kill VoIP altogether. I don't know. We'll see.
And that's what I just told him. I said, we're pulling the HIP links so we can control who from their network can connect over here.
You available for a call on the hotline?
I'm not. We're the hot... You can call the cell phone. I got my feet up. I have been having one hell of a day with this foam port. Started off okay, but then phones, phones and end users. I grabbed an iced tea, and I have my feet up. So I got my cell phone right here.
I could do that, or I could do CMEN 1.
I just used a cell. I left the 800 in the charger.
W8FU. NADBF mobile.
KF8S.
What's going on?
Not much. You missed the drama earlier, but I'll tell you about it later.
On this repeater?
Nah. But yeah. But yeah.
Oh boy, now I'm curious.
Yep. Fun stuff. So you're finally getting out of work? I guess it is 5 o'clock. I always thought you got out at 4.
I wish I was, but I just drove from my office to our yard in Pontiac to set up two new workstations and realized after I set them up I didn't have the 230-watt power supply. So now I'm driving back to the office because I don't feel like dealing with this tomorrow, and then back to Pontiac, and then back to my house. So I'll probably get home around 8 o'clock.
Well, that's no fun. You're supposed to keep power supplies in your truck at all times.
trust me, I know, but unfortunately these are the Lenovo, like, 230-watt bricks, and they plug into the back of an all-in-one monitor that you can slide a PlayStation into, so it's like this easy power supply to run a computer and a monitor off of one outlet, and they're like $180 a piece, and they only come with these PCs, so I don't have a backlog of them, so... Sucks to suck.
So I guess the reason why they do that is so they don't have to put power supplies in the computer and it's easier to replace an external one versus an internal one, and they can make extra money on the side too.
Oh no, it's a brilliant design. I love it. It makes for a very clean setup. And like you said, you know, power supply dies, no big deal. Plug a new one in. It also helps reduce the footprint of these things. They're absolutely tiny. It's a tiny P3 is what they're called. And there's these little tiny workhorse PCs that you can slam 96 gigs of RAM into and an i7 with like 2 terabytes. And they're a little bit bigger than your hand. So it's a very slick setup. It's just very non-traditional, so unfortunately my brain is still not familiar enough to be like, hey, make sure you got power supplies, idiot. So, lesson learned. Never going to do this again.
Yeah, it's like those mini forum PCs. I wonder, you know, that they're great machines, but if that power supply ever dies, I'm basically no computer for a week or so. I don't know how easy it is to get another supply from them, you know, pretty quick. Does it have to come from China or their warehouses somewhere?
Oh, that takes a standard, like, 3-pin. I'm almost positive they have a stateside warehouse. I think it's in California.
Yeah, one end is, like, you know, the standard, you know, traditional old computer power cord, but then it goes into a brick, and then that brick comes out, and it's like some kind of DIN connector.
I wish all the manufacturers would just standardize on those three plugs, like monitor, server, power supply cable. Lenovo did, like these hefty power supplies. That's what it takes going into the transformer. So that's nice, because if you ever damage or lose that part, or you break the prong off the plug, it's no big deal. But yeah, if those power supplies go, then you're kind of SOL. But I guess it needs having to depart a casing and figure that part out.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to... It's kind of like USB-C. It took them a while before they did that. But, yeah, I don't know why they don't just use USB-C. Because how much, well, I guess you can't put 200 some odd watts through USB-C. I don't know, what's the highest you can put through USB-C?
That's a good question. I know they make 200 watt blocks for USB-C PD. I have some USB-C cables that are 100 watt rated, but I've never seen a device. I don't think I know of any devices that that take over 100 watts charging for PD.
Well, there's something that says that, I mean, there's a, if you Google, it says it can go up to 240 watts. But this was in 2021.
So, yeah, I mean, in theory, you could do a lot. I just don't know. I mean, there's already 10 gig Thunderbolt 4. There's already 8K Thunderbolt. So, yeah, I mean, why not throw power into them unless the increased wattage messes with the data transfer? I don't know. I'm not a electrical engineer. All I know is I think USB-C is like the pinnacle. I don't know if it's going to get any better, and I kind of hope it doesn't. I want this to be the standard for my lifetime.
Well, the highest I've seen is 120 watts. I don't think I've ever seen somebody sell a 240 watt one. But like those, you know, the little power bricks, they're all rated for 120 or something like that. Yeah, anchor ones. I know the Mac one's 90.
It is impressive what those little tiny USB-C plugs are capable of doing.
Alrighty, I'm going to let you go here for a bit. It's getting noisy. So, good luck on your power supply debacle. Hopefully the traffic favors you. I'll be monitoring. I just, you know, it's just the background's getting noisy, so I'll spare everybody. KFAS.
Sounds good. I'll be in the truck for a bit. My Google Maps is telling me I have 10 miles to go, and it's going to take 35 minutes, and that's on 59. So I really hope that's not right. But, all right, man. Yeah, I'll talk to you later. NADBF, standing by.
NAKTP Mobile.
NADBF Mobile. Is it safe to come out? It is 2024, so I guess. What's up, Dakota? Suffering through my own stupidity at the moment. Uh-oh, what'd you do? I left my office at 3 o'clock to go to our transfer station in Pontiac off of, like, over, Collier Road, kind of over by Auburn. And I had to set up two workstations. It was like, boom, bam, you know, no big deal. I'll knock these things out. I'll get home at a decent time today. Well, I get there, and I set them up, and I don't have the correct power supply. So I just had to drive all the way back to Hall and Plank, and now I'm driving all the way back to Pontiac and then all the way home. So it's a long one.
Well, at least Pontiac, you can probably hop on 24 north before you cut over. That should be a pretty good ride. I don't know. Well, sorry for you on that. It's already going on 6, so yeah, you're going to have a long one today.
It said 53 minutes to home when I was there, and I was like, oof, that doesn't seem right because I'm, you know, in Pontiac, and apparently it is. I'm hoping that was a traffic thing, but I doubt it. And yeah, we're looking at like a 14-hour day today.
Hold on one sec. Back. Have to leave someone a message on the HOIP phone.
I heard all about that fiasco.
Yep. It's unfortunate, you know. Everything's always so easy going and all that stuff, but you know, you just after a while you get tired of telling somebody the same thing over and over and over, and then just refusing to, you know, even make the most reasonable, you know, effort to solve the problem, and then getting offended, you know. So then they go so far as to start telling owners of systems how the systems are going to operate. Got a little learning to do about this stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that. That would be incorrect, sir. That's not how this works. I only picked up one day I was coming home. I think it was the day I ordered my 500, like last week, and 45 minutes home. That's all I heard was just ear-piercing audio and 3-minute transmission. So, yeah, can't say I'm disappointed.
Well, the unfortunate part is that the solution was so easy, just pick up the handset, and and, you know, my ear gets hot. It's inconvenient for me. Okay, well, what about the rest of us? A dozen repeaters, potentially, you know, tens or dozens, who knows how many listeners, but my ear might get warm. Oh, well, I understand. You know, don't let your ear get warm on account of all of our ears bleeding. I'm still a big advocate of RF when you can and a note if you can't. I don't really care for the other knickknacks, and I understand that's a whole other part of the hobby, and more power to the people. It is cool, but I deal with VoIP phones for a living, so I had no interest in dealing with that part. Whatever, it's a nice tool to use, you know, in addition to. I find it handy. Like, I use the GroundWire app, and if I'm traveling and I don't have, you know, a node or my, like, when I went to Traverse City the other day, I brought my node, but for some reason I could not get my node to connect up with my phone. So I got to look into that and figure out why that happened, because I thought I had it all worked out before I left. And, you know, and I wasn't going to double back and try to figure it out, because, you know, I had to get them both on the same network and all that other stuff. So forget it. So node was dead to me. So, you know, luckily I just was able to use, well, I used DD switch actually at that point, but still, you know, one of these types of things, you know, to get me on the network, and it worked, you know, worked just fine. So they are nice tools to use in addition, but you're right. Primarily it should be an RF thing, a radio thing. That's why we do this. That's why it's called amateur radio, and these things are nice supplements. So there you go. But, anyhow, it just got a little out of hand, and like I said, I just, you know, for the most part, I was kind of letting it slide, but I just, you know, then I finally got to a point where it's like, you know, if you don't believe it from the one person, you know, somebody else needs to step in here and try to impress upon you, you know. I'm pretty sure he's listening right now. He's hanging off here on Echo Link, so hopefully, you know, he learns from this experience, or he proves to just be one of them guys that, you know, likes to ruin everything, pee in the pool, so everybody's got to get out. I've been in that exact same scenario with a node more times than I can count, and I think that's why I finally gave up entirely on having a mobile node, unless I have, like, a dedicated hotspot, because I had so many issues with the iPhone hotspot when I had it, and then just packet loss and all those other issues roaming, so... I am interested in those open spots, though. I think that would put my 75 to somewhat use, but, man, they're just too much money for me to be like, yeah, I'm going to try that. Because then you're screwed. You bought it. And they come from, I think, the DK. But, yeah, it is unfortunate. You know, drama on there is never a good thing. And this is a pretty chill network. It's pretty lax on etiquette, so... You know, simple request, oblige, and you can swim in the pool.
Yep. You know that chemical they put in the pool so that when you pee, it turns purple and everybody can see it? Dave was our chemical in the pool detecting the pee today. And everybody went, ah! So... yeah, the open spot. I got the open spot 4 Pro. I got it from Larry, and it's a wonderful piece of kit. It really is. It's got just a beautiful form factor. It's got a great battery. I don't know how they get so much battery life out of the tiny little thing. It's so stealth, and it slips in your pocket. It's got a beautiful user interface. I think it's just the best digital device out there. Now, I get it. You know, you can get yourself a Zum Spot or whatever, Jumbo Spot or whatever they're now calling these, you know, typical ones, and you run that WCPT, W2CPT or whatever software, and the software's quite good, the dashboard's quite nice, but there's something about the OpenSpot 4, just is a really, really nice piece of kit. I love mine, and I will, you know, unless something comes out that does something I don't get with it, I'm probably going to keep it. You know, it's my primary, and the rest of them get very little use anymore. in my brief research on those things and just a little bit of reading in YouTube I've watched, I mean, there's really not a bad thing to say about it other than the cost, but it's one of those perfect examples of you get what you pay for, because I've done the Build Your Own PiStar, and I've used that software, and it got better than the PiStar software once I switched to that, but it's just not, you know, the ClearNote has ruined me. I don't think I could ever go back to having to actually go to a web GUI. Being able to control these things with an app on the fly, like the other day when I was coming home on the HT, I was able to flip over to my ClearNote, flip over to the FBI network all from my phone in about 2 seconds. Like, it's the convenience. You can't beat it. So I'm still doing a little bit of reading on them, and if I can figure out a use case for them, because I think they do all the bridge modes too, right?
Yeah, they do. They'll only do one at a time, and I know with the open spots you can do up to four different modes, and it'll cycle between them. I've heard people have mixed results doing that. I've done it with some success, but the open spot will only do one at a time. And if you're crossing, if you're doing, like, let's say, you know, DMR diffusion or something like that, that's all you can do. So, you know, I would not be, you know, I'll have to see if I can save the configuration of this thing. Although it's easy to set up, I'd be more than happy to float it to you for, you know, a few weeks if you want to, like, give it a run, see if you really like it. I just think it's a, you know, I just think it's, you know, the cat's pajamas. I have not played with a ClearNote, but I think it's a similar concept. And this is coming from a guy that was, you know, actually, I remember Don had that OpenSpot 1, and I had one of the very first ZoomSpots, which was at that time, ZoomSpot was the original, I think, or was it Jumbo? Yeah, ZoomSpot was the original, and then later it was a JumboSpot, and I don't even know what they call it now, MMDVM. But I had one of the original first one, ZoomSpot, and you know, I was running that with PiStar. Well, and Don had the original OpenSpot 1, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to get an OpenSpot 1 because it lacks this, this, and this. Well, in the version 2, 3, and 4, they not only took care of all those things, but they just completely upped the game, and boy, they were listening. I think in the number 2, I think they added Wi-Fi, because that was the first thing I said was ridiculous. There was no Wi-Fi. You had to actually jack it in. And in 3, I think they added the battery. And they changed the form factor in 2. The form factor became very cool. And then they added Wi-Fi. Then they added the battery. And then they added the, I forget what, but they actually added the hardware vocoding in the 4 Pro. So you really get it all, you know, with the latest one. But no, I like it real well. So, but enough, you know, enough of all that. You know, if I can save the configuration of this one off, and you know, and then send it off to you, I'd be more than happy to loan it to you for, you know, whatever. I wouldn't miss it for a few weeks or more.
That's what I gathered was OpenSpot 4 Pro was the one to get, because it just had every bell and whistle imaginable. And no, you don't have to do that. I appreciate it. I'm more curious of your use case for that thing. You know, when do you use it? When do you think that's the time? I mean, you're the guy with the gadgets. When is that handy?
Well, I'm not really the guy, because I don't use the digital modes nearly as much as other people. You know, I use it because of its simplicity and how easy it is for me, because I get frustrated easily. So if I've got to spend too much time dabbling with something, I lose interest. I'm just like, it's just not that important to me. I can just grab my radio and talk to my repeater and I'm done. You know, it's like I have very low tolerance for things that require a lot of, you know, fiddling. And this is no fiddling. I turn it on. I got like 10 profiles set up for, you know, for different cross modes and different modes. If I want to do Brandmeister type DMR, I just, boom, I hit a button. If I want to do, you know, Fusion, boom, I do Fusion. If I want to do Fusion to DMR or P25 to DMR or whatever, you know, I got profiles set up for that. And basically, I just pick whichever profile, and boom, away I go. I just grab the appropriate radio.
And then I do most all the, I do all the talk loop steering right from the radio. So I just, you know, I just go to the talk loop I want to key up, and you know, you can put it in the fusion mode where you can actually see the rooms and all that stuff. You know, but I literally, I just, I am not probably the guy to ask because I don't utilize these modes enough or with enough vigor. You know, to, there's probably guys out there that know things and say, oh, no, it's terrible because it won't do this or won't do that. And I wouldn't even know, you know, because I just, you know, like I said, I decide what I've got. I've got P25, Fusion, DMR, D-Star. I got all these handhelds sitting here, and I just grab one. I turn this thing on. I put it in that mode, and, you know, with my phone, and away I go, you know, and that's what I like, you know. So it's actually my not ignorance, but my lack of, you know, being the digital guy that makes me love this thing so much.
Simplicity and reliability are two huge selling features for me on any product, and that sounds like it's got both. I was just pondering because I'm trying to find a use for my 75 because I love that radio, and I hate that it's going to just sit now because this 500 is the best mobile I've used, but I've only used a couple. I've used a 200, a 300, and a 5100. But this thing is just, I couldn't ask for more out of a mobile radio. But, you know, figure if I'm going up north or something, or if I'm going anywhere I'm not in repeater range, or like me, I'm at my house, I'm not really in repeater range. You know, it'd be cool to jump on Zombie or something like that, or screw around with DMR this winter, whatever. I still have my Redivis RT3S, I've got that 75, and, you know, this is a Fusion rig, so I have things to play with, but I just got to get over that hump of, wow, that thing costs $400.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a really smoking hot deal from Larry on it and the Antitone 878, so, you know, I got a really good deal from where I probably wouldn't own one because I'm also cheap, so there's that. But I'm glad I got it, and you know, unless something else comes out that I really got to have, this will probably be one of the last things I ever. You know, there's a few things that I can't imagine myself getting rid of, and you know, that's one of them. You know, just because what else would I use for this? It's even if I went to a assisted living, you know, as a senior at some point in my life. I could have this in a handheld and pretty much, you know, talk all over the world, you know. So it's a pretty no-brainer. That and a good hotspot, you know, a good all-star hotspot. But you can ask Larry if you hear him, NYET. Although I think Dave has one, and so Dave has both, and he knows this stuff a lot better. So if I'm right and Dave has one of these, then he's obviously the guy, at least in our circle, that you want to talk to, not me. But I'm sure there's other folks that have these that also have open spots, you know, that can tell you the pros and cons. But, you know, I think Dave might have both.
Sorry, I was listening. There's some high-pitched noise in my truck, and I can't tell if it's a truck or if it's the radio, and I think it's only when I'm receiving. It's like a little squeal, so I don't know if something's up with the, I need to put an RF choke on the power lead or what, but yeah, we'll pick Dave's brain, because I think he does have one. He's the master of nodes. He's tinkered with, I think, every type there is. But I'm a simpleton. I got the clear note. I love that thing. I have not touched it since he fixed it originally. And it was my fault because there were two nodes registered with the same node number. Since then, that thing has been absolutely flawless. I feel like that's how the open spot would be. But, yeah, I'll definitely have to pick his brain because I think that might be a worthwhile investment, especially for this winter because I don't think I'm going to be getting out for HF much, nor do I want to spend what it's going to take to get back on the air at this point in time.
Now, this is the clear node pay once, and then you've got access, or do I understand there's some sort of subscription you have to have? Because, see, I check out as soon as I hear some sort of ongoing, you know, subscription.
NAZDF. No, there is no subscription, at least not to my knowledge. I've had it for, I don't know, going on 2 years now, and I've only paid the initial $380 or whatever the heck it cost. His support's awesome. I think it's just him. But he's typically within a half hour, he'll reply back to you if you got a question or an issue. And my experience with him has been really good. I think Dave broke it down for me one time. I mean, you're paying for the hardware, but you're also paying for his support, which does exist, and it is good. And, you know, I've been getting regular updates on the thing every time I open my app. Actually, every time. Frequently when I open my app, it'll say new update available, and it gets pushed out. And, I mean, it's to me, it's flawless. I mean, I can go on there. I can disconnect from WCARC, and then I can jump right over to FBI or vice versa, and it's pretty seamless. I should probably get one. I could probably sell my two Shari nodes and cover the cost of one of those, no? Oh, yeah, for sure. Those Shari's are worth $200 a piece. So I think you're probably getting it for about $400 for the clear node, but it's just an awesome little node. I can send you some screenshots of the app interface. It's pretty seamless, pretty straightforward. I'm pretty sure there's bridge modes to where you can cross over into, like, Fusion and I think DMR. Could be wrong. There's one of them it doesn't do, but I never really tinkered with that. But, yeah, no, the app control is what really gets me. That's the main reason I bought it.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I'm going to read up on it a little bit now. But yeah, let me check out here for a minute. Dave and I are chatting over in the telegram. What the hell, man? Brain fart here about how to best fix our issues. So I want to get to that. And my phone's ringing. So I'll be back. WRQ.
Sounds good. I'm almost there anyway. NADBF.
I wish I could clone myself so I could have multiple conversations.
Your knowledge is always valued when people want to ask you questions.
I need to have an AMA.
Oh, something started on this radio, and I hope it's just a break-in.
Are you saying you have, like, a whining noise? Because I thought I heard it that last transmission.
It's barely audible, though. It's so high frequency. It almost sounds like very faint brake squeaky. That's why I couldn't tell if it was in the truck or out of the truck. I'm just curious if it's the fuse tap, like if I'm getting interference from that, or if it's I got the antenna isn't the best setup ever. It's kind of like it's running close to the power cable, but I don't think that would matter. So it seems like it's only when I'm receiving it, like this little squeak.
You see what I wrote there, Dave? Tell me if I'm right or not on that. I didn't mean to kill the conversation.
You didn't kill the conversation. Sorry, I'm on the phone with Eric. I know Dakota was talking to me, and then I see your message, so my brain is trying to sort it all out.
Okay, yeah. Anyhow.
Dave needs an AI assistant, I think.
You've got to multitask, man.
One of the most challenging things I've found in radio is when you need to interrupt someone, you can't. Like if, say someone's going on for, you know, 45, 60 seconds.
just sent a text to my buddy telling him I'm feeling kind of bismillah tonight. It's the Indian joint down the road here.
I don't know what I'm going to do for dinner. I'm at a transfer station. Nothing really sounds good. I'm throwing my garbage. All right, I'll be back in a bit. I got to go plug this stuff in and get the hell out of here. NADVS.
All right, yep. I'm pulling the multitask thing here, too. I'm going to get out of here and figure out what's going on. W8FU. Or K8FBI. If anyone cares. Hey, DDF, you're on W8FU. W8FU, NADVS. Yeah, no rush. Just when you're off. W8FU. I can make out north on Baldwin and all that, no problem, but yeah, you might run into some spots that will be troublesome there. Phil's machine would normally fill you in pretty good over there, but he's compromised right now.
Yeah, this is foreign territory to me, and that, Baldwin is Baldwin.
Yeah, I don't know if you got the 2.5 in your machine, in your radio, but it's the same. It's the 442.5, which normally covers that area pretty good, but like I said, he's kind of compromised right now.
I used to have that one, but not anymore. No big deal, seriously. I was actually wondering how this kind of looks like.
A lot of popcorn, but I can hear everything you're saying. It's, you know, you're on the verge of any more noise or popcorn, and it'd be a definite no. Now you're like, you know, and I anticipate you'll get a little better, so I'm not telling you to watch it there. But how you hearing it? That's the big thing, because I've got plans for some receiver enhancements up that way. But how you hearing it?
Hardly any pop, nothing. I can hear you clear today.
Okay, that's the goal. The goal is to have good transmit footprint up that way, and then you know, I'm currently investigating ways to get some enhanced receiver performance out that way. But anywho, now I was going to ask you, I don't know if you want to wait until you're, I don't know which way you're taking home. Are you going to be running north before you head east, or are you going to run, you're going to come east and then go north? Which way are you going? But I was going to ask you, I just went to the ClearNode website, and they've got, like, you know, the ClearNode Pi-Fi B, the ClearNode UHF, the Zero, the ROS, you know, you got all this, you know, which one? I guess it's just Pi-Fi versus something else. Is that what it is?
I just need a ton of elevation. So how are you copying me before I go on?
Pretty good. Popcorn by ear, 100%. Yeah, I hope you're not talking right now, but nope, it ain't going to work. We'll just wait until you get in better coverage. Yeah, I'm at Clarkson Road. I'll be back in a bit. NBDS. Yeah, yeah, and of course, as usual, that's really good right there, but that whole area is real spotty, so good 1 minute, bad the next. All right, no big deal. It's not important anyhow. W8FU. EPL Mobile.
Test, test. KFA test.
KE8TFM.
N8KPP Mobile.
Are you PPing?
Not sure who that was. Try it again. N8KPP.
It is I was just wondering if you're PPing.
No, I'm driving, so that wouldn't be a thing to do. Left Marion's house, stopped at the Kit Kat Club, had a late dinner, watched some karaoke singers. They had one young lady there that was just amazing, and we're calling it an evening and heading home. I was going to see if you were going to be around in your work 20 tomorrow and bring you back your HT.
I'd say it's 50-50 at this point. But, well, no, it's probably 60-40 I will be in.
Okay. Out of one of the many ways that we've got to communicate, I will figure out one of them and contact you and let you know what my schedule looks like. I know I've got to drop the work car off, get that oil change light turned off and wipers and tires and rotated and something else. So I'll probably be driving my big white ugly truck tomorrow, and then I got to run over towards Van Dyke and 14 and go talk to a man about a project I'm selling, and then depending on how it plays out, maybe I can grab a quick bite or something around noon at time if you're
both keep you at your work 20 or your travel 10 yards and about. See how that plays out.
Yuppers. Yeah, I should be. I'm more likely going in. I got no good reason to take off. I got a lot of days I got to burn between now and the end of the year, but you know, I'll probably take several off between around Thanksgiving or take them right at the end there between Christmas and New Year's. I don't know, but and then I got a garage I got to put up, so I'm guessing I'll take a couple off for that. So. Not necessarily, but I do got a lot of days to burn up, so every day I get up, I kind of like go, is today I want to take a day or not, so makes it tough. Anywho, but I got no real reason to take off tomorrow unless my kid wants a bike ride or something like that. He gets off Thursdays and Fridays, so it's rough. I'll be in. Like I said, 60-40, I'll be in. So, yeah, I'll... You know, got a million ways to get a hold of me. I don't know if you heard the fireworks earlier. We had some fireworks earlier today. I noticed you called. I was wondering if you caught some of it. Anyhow, we were working on a solution to that problem most of the evening. Well, Dave was. And got it all worked out just a little bit ago.
I did hear fireworks. I caught bits and pieces of it because I was in and out. That signal was terrible, but I wish I could have stayed and caught the entirety of it, but I can get a recap when I see you. But it was just one of those situations where I went in and out, but I caught the part where they were trying to get him to calm down, and he got kind of flippy and hippy, and I thought to myself, so was that stuff all coming in through some sort of node or some sort of VoIP system? Is that where that was coming from? Because I thought it was from far away, from the land of far, far away.
Did you have one of them first, those audio codes, 405 HDs? Did you get into the VoIP phone with one of those, the ones that Anthony gave us all to kind of get this whole VoIP phone mess started?
Yeah, I got one of those. You're talking about that 525 phone?
No, that's the good one. That's the one we all migrated to. But the first ones, the ones that started this whole mess, was Anthony got a whole bunch of those audio codes, 405s. And so, you know, we all jumped on them and grabbed them and said, yeah, what the hell, we'll play with them. And we all dug it, but... You know, they left a lot to be desired, and so, you know, we've been just giving them, you know, away to, you know, people and stuff like that, just paying it forward. And the problem is that they sound terrible on if you do speakerphone with them and use them that way. They're really loud and overdriven, and they just sound terrible on the air. They're fine if you just use them for VoIP, you know, and phone to phone or phone to network, you know, or something like that. But they're terrible going out on the air. They're overdriven, and so, you know, and he's been told countless times, and all he had to do was pick up the handset, you know, and then he said that, you know, he said, well, I don't like doing that. It makes my ear warm. I'm like, yeah, but your audio makes our ears bleed. So you're going over like dozens of repeaters with potentially dozens or, you know, tens of, you know, people all having to listen to this because your ear might get warm. Come on, dude. And then he was like, you know, then he started the whole, you don't tell me. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's where I stepped in. In fact, I do tell you, shut him down.
Yeah, I did catch you and Dave talking, or you and somebody talking about a way to isolate it. You know, kind of like you can do with All-Star, so you can take numbers out. Were you able to figure that out? Because I did catch that conversation when Dave was saying that it's kind of like an all-or-nothing situation. Is that the case, or can you isolate out certain, let's say, ID numbers, you know, All-Star ID numbers? Can you isolate them out, or don't you guys know yet?
Yeah, Dave went in there and figured it out, as we knew he would. And so I just got through modifying my extensions file with the appropriate commands. Now I've got, in effect, I've got a blacklist for, you know, for that. You know, it's very rare, you know, somebody giving somebody every opportunity to correct their signal and correct their, you know, their stuff. And if they won't, then you just got to say, sorry, you know, can't let you come in that way. And that's, so there's a way to do that now. It's got exactly one entry in it, but, you know, but until he fixes it, that's the way it's going to stay.
Yeah, Cujo wanted to get in on that too, and you know, but that was before all of this blow up, and I told him, I said, just go on the Who Cares network and follow those instructions. I says, usually once something gets posted there, it gets pretty well perfected. I didn't know about, you know, the beta testing part of it, but, you know, I just advised him. I said, look, if you want to get in on that little, you know, connectivity thing, you know, he already knew about the 525 phone, but I had told him that, I said, that's the one that everybody's migrated to, and, you know, unless you want to start reinventing the wheel. He asked me about an Y phone, and I said, you know, wow, look at the size of those here. He asked me about the Y phone. I said, I can't answer either way, because I didn't, you know, this was before all of this. I said, I can't tell you, you know, but I forget his name. The guy that's working with you, didn't he get a different phone?
Yeah, Paul picked up a Yowlink, or I can't even remember now. Anyhow, a different one, right? There's a couple of them, and most all of them work just fine, right? But that audio code is just a really basic, you know, very, very basic phone, and that's why they were free, and that's why everybody's passing them around, and they work fine. You know, if you're gonna do like a conference bridge, or if you're gonna do something, you know, but if you're gonna hook up to a radio network, you know, you can't use the speakerphone. You can use the handset; they sound fine. And you know, that was the thing I think that made me upset, is that, you know, I told you, I said, dude, I said, all you got to do is pick up the handset, and you're fine, you know. And I go, you know, but instead, you know, you insist that, you know, on doing this, and it's like, you know, I don't know. It's like that would have been the simple solution: just pick up the handset and say, yeah, I'll work on it, you know. And, you know, I wasn't aware, but he was aware. He was told it 1,000 times, you know, and people have been trying to work with him on it. So, you know, or I go, yeah, that's what I said. I said, look, use the handset, you know, find $30 and buy a Cisco, or be an a-hole. Those are your choices, and we know which one you've chosen. And so that's where I got kind of rude, which, you know, sometimes I do that. You know, I can be that way.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I caught parts of it. I didn't catch the whole thing. I caught parts because we were in and out. But, you know, parts I did catch that I thought, you know, they were pretty abrasive on his part. And I was thinking to myself, okay, you know, hey, you know, sometimes, you know, when you get into this little club, you know, you don't want anybody that needs to be handheld, you know, or spoon-fed. I think you want somebody that will go and, you know, kind of figure things out for themselves, or, you know, everybody's good at something, you know, but if you got to spoon-feed everything, then yeah, okay, that's, you know, that's not the way to go. So, you know, you don't mind helping people out, you know, as long as there's some discovery on their part. But, you know, if we're going to be in the appliance business, okay, that's what 462 is for. You know, go there. So, yeah, I got it. And it's just like, I understood, you know, he wasn't cooperating, and sometimes there's, like, hands like that. And then thirdly, usually if there's something like that going on in our backyard from something that's far away, my guess is he probably doesn't have many friends in his own backyard, you know, in his hobby or sport or what have you, and so they're migrating farther away. I've got a stepson that's kind of like that, not with ham radio, but, you know, he's always looking for a fight, and then, you know, when nobody starts talking to him, it kind of,
he migrates out farther, you know, because he thinks things are going to be different, not in his backyard. So I started thinking, I'm wondering if he's the person like that.
I know how I am. You know, when first of all, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans. Whenever I go to any new environment, whether it be a new repeater, a new simplex, a social engagement, a new group, something, you stop, you listen, you get a feel for the dynamics and all that stuff, and then you carefully dip your foot in, you know, and kind of like, you know, and then eventually, you know, if you're not, you know, once you're out, and most everybody does that, right? This is not. You know, this is social, you know, social interaction 101. But, you know, but sometimes people, they just come in like a bull, and then they just, like, you're like, whoa, dude, you know, you're doing it wrong, you know, and then it's like, oh, you don't tell me. And it's like, well, now, hold on, you know, we kind of do tell you, you know, but, we're, you know, and you try, you know, it's like that, but somebody takes it personally, right? And then it gets ugly. You know, and then, of course, it escalates, and it's, you know, it's unfortunate. I think he's on the spectrum, so, you know, I was trying to help him offline along with Don. We were trying to help him get it squared away, you know, and on the one hand, I don't want to let him off the hook for his behavior. You know, it's like there was no excuse for the way you were behaving, but by the same token, look, I'm willing to help you fix it. And if you get it fixed and you say, you know, hey, I know it was bad, you know, it's like, you know, I got it fixed now. You know, then all could be right in the world, but I don't know if he's got the capacity for it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had figured out, you know, on my microphone, my hockey puck microphone, you know, the automatic gain at the, you know, the hockey stick microphone, the automatic gain on that one, remember when I first got it, you were telling me to adjust it on the back of it. Well, I was adjusting it. Well, it was set too low. I mean, it wasn't giving it enough for the ADC to cover for the microphone. So I turned it up about halfway, and then I just let the radio itself turn down the gain, and now it's pretty close to accurate on both digital and analog. And that's kind of what the problem was. It just didn't have enough oomph because you kept saying, you know, go louder, go louder, go louder. And then when I was turning up the gain, it wasn't doing anything. Well, the microphone, the analog sitting on the microphone was preventing it. So I got that taken care of. So, all right, sir, I'm pulling in on the final approach in the driveway. Then this is just following me. So I'm not sure what we're going to do to finish out the night. But who knows, maybe just chill out and watch TV. And I will give you a ring tomorrow, and we'll figure out something to go grab a cup of coffee or a sandwich or something and get you back your handheld. NAKPP, clear on yours.
All righty. Well, you know how to get a hold of me. We'll talk to you tomorrow. NAKPP from WAFU.
Yep, on a VoIP phone via speaker. Later.
KE8FU, KE4ZYQ.
Hello, Joe. It's W8FU. How are you doing?
I'm sorry. I haven't been drinking or anything else. I got that messed up. Thank you for the correction. Do I sound that much different on this than the other service?
Well, I know you on both. I don't notice ever anything. There's nothing ever notably bad about, you know, or anything like that. Your audio is always, it's you, and it's always very clear.
Well, I appreciate that. Always good to know it's working properly, or hopefully it's working properly. Somebody was pretty surprised at the handheld GMRS one I have that I got in, a few days ago. The band was opening up or something, but somebody said, man, your radio sounds fantastic. I don't know if they were putting me on, or this was somebody not local. It was, I think, in Ohio or somewhere. And I don't know. It just blew my mind. I'm with a handheld going through the Mount Clements site there, Roger.
Roger. By the way, which repeater are you on right now? Because I'm noticing a little something on the edges. I'm just curious, which particular repeater are you on?
UHF-625.
Yeah, that's it. That repeater has some issues. I'm hearing just a little crispiness on your edge, just on the voice peaks, and that's endemic of that particular repeater. We need to get up there and go through it. I've been meaning to do it for probably close to a year now. Anywho, it's not your radio.
Well, did that clear it up right there?
It wasn't that bad, so I'll have to hear you a little bit more. My first thought is yes, but I want to hear you a little bit more to be sure.
Yeah, this should sound a little better because I'm on the 6-0. The 6-0 from KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, that little bit of raspiness on the edges is gone now. So, yep, all set. So, yeah, that's one thing. That one is when there's a needs a little tweak. So not completely on. So, and I've known that for some time and just been meaning to get up there, but there's apathy and laziness and other projects and about a million reasons why I haven't yet. But we did talk about it again today, coincidentally.
You know, this one, the one I'm on now, is a little more trebly in my receive. And it's not bad, it's just more treble and not as full, robust sound. And the other, first one I was on, is a very rich and deeper sound on the receive. So I know what you're saying. I believe and understand what you're saying to some extent, but it's amazing the difference in quality of reception.
Yeah, it's a matter of what you get used to, you know, whatever. I just turned it, dialed it up, and yeah, if you're doing an A-B between the two of them, that one has a different, you know, it's a lower, it's got a little bit more lows. You know, to my ear, being used to this one, it sounds a little muffled, a little louder and a little muffled, and, you know, because it's got a little bit more of the low-end quality. But it's, again, it's a matter of what you get used to, you know, the real test is you go, you know, if you can hear somebody clearly on the input, you go input, output, and whichever one sounds most true to the input versus the output, you know, that's correct. That's the correct one.
Yep, QSL that. You know, it was interesting within the past week, GMRS, I was on briefly one day last week here, and somebody came in from Florida. I'm thinking, wow.
Here on this network, or did you say GMRS?
Oh, it was GMRS. Yeah, GMRS. I was listening, and I was kind of amazed. You know, he's coming in. It was a jokester. Sounded like he's very serious, and a few people were talking to him and somebody else, and one in Ohio and one coming in from Florida. I don't know. You tell me.
Well, it's not impossible, but improbable. It certainly wasn't ducting or anything like that or band conditions, and there's no linked, you know, repeaters or anything like that. So there is a way to get into the system remotely. Very few people have that capability. So if one of the people with that capability was doing it, then yes. But that is surprising. I'd be curious to know, you know, who that was and how they were accomplishing it. So Anywho, now here, yeah, you know, it's, you know, all the time, anytime, you know, that's not a big deal. And we have a semi-regular check-in from Florida here. Well, I wouldn't say regular, but, you know, Colin used to live up here. He checks in periodically, so. Yeah, over there, I know of no way. I know very few folks that can do that. Gary can do it if he's down there at his property, which maybe he was. Maybe Jeff's traveling down there. I don't know. There's very few people that could do it. And so, yeah, whatever. But if it was happening, I guess it was happening.
KE4ZYQ. Well, this is kind of hilarious. It took me a while when I first got back into ham radio and listening and talking that it took me a while to find out that Colin, his name does not have an S on the end of it, if you know what I mean. I heard a lot of people or certain people put an S there, and I'm thinking, that's like people who say Myers. I went to Myers. A lot of times I don't want to ask him, how many Myers store did you go to? He says, it's not plural, it's singular. So I don't know. Not to nitpick, but it's just kind of funny.
Yeah, so there's kind of a story with that. Jay, we just listening, WJL, he used to say that, and Colin would call him out on that all the time. And then we got to the point where we'd all start saying it, Collins. And, you know, and then we'd overemphasize, yes, we'd say Collins, you know, and really make a mockery of it and all that stuff. And then Jay would stop doing it, but then, you know, Colin would still, you know, get on him about it. And it just became kind of a thing. It had a life of its own. It was kind of like, you know, the whole who's on first. It was kind of like the whole, you know, Colin, Jay, who's on first.
You obviously watch TV too, and one thing that drives me nuts on TV is I'm hearing every now and then from supposedly newscasters and reporters and all different people, every now and then I hear it and it drives me nuts. For some reason, people are changing the word important to important. They go important, like they had a speech defect or a speech impediment. I don't know where this started, but I hear it from reporters, newscasters, people being interviewed or whatever. Yeah, I don't know if you hear TV enough every now and then. Even at a football game or something, somebody will be doing it, everybody say, well, what are you going to do important? And they say it weren't wrong. I'm thinking, what is going on in this world?
Can't say I've noticed that one, but I've heard it. You know, I've heard it before, but I haven't noticed it in any particular, or in any kind of, like, you know, way that raised any flags. I had a guy catch me for being near Canada today. A guy from Missouri was trying to sell me some test equipment, some other various stuff, and he kind of said, hey, you said A, or, you know, you said this, and, you know, it's right, you're up near Canada, aren't you? And I'm like, really? You know, and, oh, yeah, you can hear it. I'm like, okay, it's whatever you say. But I've that's not the first time I've heard that. I know a couple of times been down at Dayton, and I've been called out on that, and I don't know if it's, you know, just me or everybody, because I don't hear it in anybody else, and, you know, and apparently they say, you just get a little bit south of here, a little bit away from here, and they say they can hear it. They say we all do it, they can hear it, so, I don't know, shrug.
I moved to Tennessee a while back and lived down there about 14 years, and I didn't try to. You just automatically pick up a sound and words and phrases, and I didn't do it on purpose, obviously, but when I came back to visit or eventually moved back to Michigan, I said one time when I came back to visit, I said, well, what are you all doing tomorrow? They said, what is this y'all stuff, y'all doing tomorrow, instead of what are you guys doing tomorrow? I had to stop and think about what I was saying and how I was saying it so I could bring back my northern, brought up,
foreign way of talking. But I'll tell you something that'll drive you nuts if I tell you and you're aware of it from now on, is when you hear sports players and football, whatever, especially with football, and they interview somebody, I don't know why people pick it up. I don't know if it has to do with music, rap music or what, but they'll start saying things like, you know, what we did the other day, we worked on it, and everything is, you know. Pretty soon I hear that in an interview with sports especially, and I say, well, if they know, what do you have to tell them for?
Yeah, there's a ton of overuse. You feel me? And it's like, you know, and then it gets used so much. You know, it's like, once or twice was enough, I think. But yep. I think they were called, pregnant pauses are blanks, are absences. I remember I learned about those in speech. And then you've got your, I don't know what you would call them, just your uhs and your things like that. I try to avoid them. I don't know if I'm successful at it or not. But I know I talk too fast, and I have to make a conscious effort to slow it down. But we talk a certain way up here anyhow, that aside. Joe, I gotta run to the bathroom here. Something's really bothering me. I can't see. I thought I just had a little something in my eye, and now I'm thinking there's something more going on. I gotta go check it out, see what's going on, grab myself a water, and I'll be back. K4ZYQ after yours. I'll be out for a little bit from W8FU.
Hopefully it's not burning some oil from your skin, because I've had that last week. I had to take a cold washcloth and wipe my, with my eye closed off, obviously, and wipe my eye and cool it down because there's oil burning my eye. But 7-3 for now, KE4ZYQ clear. It's a sty, damn it.